We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
ESPN Upstate presents Straight Up with Sturge with Mark Sturgis.
Pay attention, please.
Call 844-GSP-ESPN. Interact now. Text 47183 or hit us up at ESPNUpstate.com.
Listen in Greenville at 105.9 FM. Martinburg at 97.1 FM. Yeah!
And now, Straight Up with Sturge on ESPN Upstate.
Welcome back in, Straight Up with Sturge. Price Atkinson and Diesel taking you through here on Tom Brady Day. But I caught up with a good friend of mine, talented sports columnist Chuck Culpepper with the Washington Post. Covers college football, college basketball, a lot of everything. He goes wherever, whenever. Chuck is one of the most talented, really, sports writers on the planet, having lived in England, Dubai. But back in the States now, covering college football with the Washington Post. Gets to go to the biggest games every weekend. And boy, this weekend he had an epic one as he was in Seattle on Friday night for UW and Stanford, the beatdown that Chris Peterson's team laid on the Stanford Cardinal, and then took a red eye straight to Atlanta and was in the press box here in Clemson on Saturday to cover the Clemson-Louisville game. And I caught up with Chuck yesterday before he got out of town just to get his thoughts on the epic weekend and what he's seen around college football so far this weekend.
Thriller last night in Death Valley. You had an incredible weekend, which we'll get to in a second, but what was that game like? What was the experience like for you back in Death Valley?
Well, the noise was something that I knew about, but is not understood until felt. Mm-hmm. And the noise made me think of, you know, I spent a lot of time roaming around English soccer. Mm-hmm. Made me think of some of those crowds. It made me think of which are the places in the world which have the most noise, the places in the country which have the most noise. You know, people talk about Florida.
Right.
A few years ago, I went to Mississippi State, and since they closed that, made it a bowl, you know, that's really, really loud. I'm going next week to Texas A&M. I'm expecting. But the noise there was, I had not been to a home game at Clemson since the quarterback was Homer Jordan. Mm-hmm. And it was Clemson 27, Virginia nothing in October. I was a Virginia student, October 81. And it was almost as if that event, that bygone game happened in black and white. And this was just the colors, the noise, the whole cheering of the bus thing. Uh-huh. I'm really into the cheering of the bus. So I didn't know a lot of these things. So, was deeply impressive.
Yeah, which I posted your column that you wrote this morning to our ESPN Upstate Facebook page and our Twitter account, so everybody can read your outstanding column about your weekend. And your weekend started in Seattle, Washington, where you covered Washington and Stanford on Friday, red-eyed it here, got to Atlanta, and got to Clemson for this game. How did you come up with this plan to go to, with what you do with the Washington Post, where did you concoct the idea to try and make this happen?
Well, I'm into crazy ideas like that. I love just that it's possible. I love that we live in a world where it's possible. I love Charles Lindbergh and Amelia Earhart and the Wright brothers for making it, all those people making it, the Germans made the first airplane, making it possible. Mm-hmm. And so we caught a break with it because there were these three all top 10 games going on, and which is very rare and was really exciting. And you catch a break when one of them is on Friday.
Right.
So then you start thinking, okay, is there any way to see two?
Right.
And especially two in not just different time zones, but the opposite, the edge time zones, you know? So I just started looking it up, started looking up the flights, So it's very possible. There was actually a lot of cushion.
Right.
Landed in Atlanta at 11 in the morning.
Right.
So there was a lot of cushion to get to Clemson by then. And I suggested it to an editor, and they, you know, they're kind of like, really? And it's, yeah, sure. And and then, you know, I just thought of it as something that while you're here on the earth, you should do. To see, have a Seattle-Clemson weekend, you know?
And 2,200 miles later, you make it from A to B.
Yeah.
And you had a heck of a weekend to see some amazing atmospheres at both. And that's what I want to ask you about. I was talking with Chuck Culpepper, Washington Post sports columnist. You see what Washington did to Stanford. It was obviously a beatdown, but it was a statement. And then you take last night what went down in the thrilling, epic fashion of the, how this thing played out between Louisville and Clemson. Statement wins by both. Which one do you think maybe stands out more nationally? What Washington did to a really solid Stanford team, or Clemson taking down maybe the national darling, the Louisville hype that was they came in with?
I think Washington stands out more nationally because we knew about Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
And as Dabo said, I know my team, and I didn't learn anything about my team tonight that I didn't know.
Right.
Clemson is a program that not only thinks it can win, but knows it can and knows how. And that's what was so apparent and impressive in that know-how.
Right.
And that's why when you've seen the whole thing reverse like it did from 28-10 to 36-28, and you still can rectify, remedy that.
Right.
That is some, and you still have this quarterback who is an expert.
Yeah.
A master. That was just and you know how, you know what I love is how cool he looked on the winning touchdown pass. You know, I think there was a fake involved, and then he's over to the right, and
he's just Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, it's just Deshaun Watson. Yeah, and then he's calmly. He just looks so cool on that. You know, like I know this whole chaotic situation. I can manage it.
Sure.
Washington, on the other hand, had played four games that had not told us much of anything about them. Very little resistance. We didn't know. Here comes Stanford, which has become acknowledged as the bully of the Pac-12, you know, and the defending champion, and a team that plays hard.
Mm-hmm.
They have these T-shirts that say "Home of Intellectual Brutality," you know, there, and so to see them dismantled in that way is rare.
Yeah,
and so Washington has made this impression that's new.
Yeah.
So in that sense, we're all paying attention to Washington. And then those of us who are old enough to remember is they split a national title with Miami 25 seasons ago, where they're both 12-0, and you couldn't pick. You couldn't.
Right.
Any sane, you know, any impartial person could not pick between them. So.
So, I mean, we're obviously in an election year right now. I mean, we always think, you know.
I've heard that.
We can't escape it, how hard we try. But the October surprise. October brought quite a bit of surprise in the world of college football yesterday, because in the span of, 30 minutes to an hour leading up to kickoff in Death Valley, that was some pretty wild. What was that in the first Saturday in October finally getting here, when really things, I always say that September's just for getting out of the gate, but October's for positioning. We saw some teams really take a, I wouldn't say a step forward, but it was what October football is meant to be in college football.
Yeah.
What we saw at North Carolina and in Georgia, Tennessee.
Yeah, it's you can't comprehend it all. It's too much. It's just too much. You almost want to tell college football itself, stop it.
Yep.
Just stop it. That's enough, you know? And then some other thing. I mean, Minnesota-Penn State apparently was an overtime game and was interesting. I couldn't even really get in my head to think. Of course, I hadn't been to sleep, but I really couldn't get in my head to think about it because of trying to process that Georgia-Tennessee thing.
Yep.
And I made a joke when Georgia scored. I said, oh, Tennessee's still going to win, but I didn't mean it, you know. So, to me, what's crazy is that big, big things like fates of careers, fates of programs, happiness of fan bases, T-shirts, what pride that's going to go on for the remainder of people's lives, all hinge on these tiny little, you know, these just very small moments that happen in these games, which means that we are all nuts, you know? Like Carlos Watkins that batting down that pass on third down with the receiver open behind him.
Right.
To go on top of, you know, is Clemson in the title game last year if he doesn't make that tackle and the two-point conversion? Maybe not.
Right.
So just those tiny things from the large 305-pound man, but it's, you know, those things determine how people feel about themselves
right.
for decades sure. to come. It's crazy.
Right. I'm talking with Chuck Culpepper, the Washington Post sports columnist, and you go across the country, and you're going to be heading to Tennessee A&M this weekend, but you go across the country and see the biggest games of the week and during the week talk to coaches. What are maybe in the first 5 weeks of the season that have jumped off the page and caught your attention?
Well, I think clearly Washington.
Sure.
I didn't expect them. I think people have said that Chris Peterson's the right guy, and he's the guy from Boise before he's going to get it right. But I don't think they still lost, I believe. They've lost at least four games every year since 2000. So I don't think we thought of them as a team that was going to be unbeaten through a lot of this. And Louisville is still.
Yeah.
Louisville is absolutely in the playoff talk.
Yep.
And legitimately in the playoff talk. So I think what strikes me is that I think we're used to the same set of teams kind of sharing the national titles. And that's why Clemson's emergence last year into that top tier is hard to do.
Yeah.
But I think maybe that we're actually talking about Washington, Louisville, and Clemson today is a sign maybe that there's some freshness going around this year, even while I still think the best two teams are probably Alabama and Ohio State. Well, I think the best team is Ohio State.
And everybody's, you know, putting out there who are their top four this week. And I don't want to ask you who your top four are in terms of who you think is going to make the playoff. Who do you think are the four best teams that you have seen this year?
Oh, that I've seen?
That you've seen this year, whether in person or even on TV.
Oh, okay.
The four teams you think that are the best, regardless of record.
Well, the two last night and I guess Washington, the three this weekend.
Okay.
And then in person I saw... Well, I saw Bama sort of survive Ole Miss. And I think I'm the kind of person you ask me for my four teams and then you get six because I start to think about it too much. But I think we've seen since Bama beat Ole Miss, the fact that Ole Miss lost twice and they're playing the way they are now, that's a nice turn of coaching right there, not to mention quality. And so they're so good, and so Bama's beaten them. So maybe I'd have to leave out the team which I suspect is the best, Ohio State, at the moment, just based on who's beaten whom at this point. Yeah.
All right, last question for you, Chuck. This has been great to catch up with you, but October, you got a lot of stuff coming. I think the SEC is where you see a lot of big games, Alabama, especially Tennessee, too. But what are some matchups, games in the month of October that you're looking forward to that you see is going to really have an impact and shape the national landscape? Any ones in particular you're excited about?
I guess that Alabama-Tennessee game on the 15th. If Tennessee, like you said, I'm headed to Tennessee, Texas A&M this weekend. Mm-hmm. So if Tennessee could win that, I mean, and you know, if they go down 21-0, then they're gonna win that. You know, that's the way it's been going with them. So don't go up 21-0. You know, so I guess that game comes to mind. I had always had that Clemson Florida State game in mind since August. I think it's on the 29th. Is that right?
Yep, that's it.
And in Tallahassee, I was at that game in 14, and. Now that's, you know, I can't get over FSU, what's happened to them in terms of the nature of the two losses that they have, you know. To me, with UNC, was not so much the field goal as letting them go 38 yards to set up the field goal in three plays, I think. So anyway, that, and then I'm going back to Washington again because they have not beaten Oregon in 12 years.
That's right.
And that's a big deal there.
Yep.
And they're going into Eugene, which where the locals, by the way, who appeared in the playoff title game just 2 years ago, have lost three in a row.
Yep.
So, I mean, I think that right there is really is really loud.
Well, Chuck, it's always great catching up with you. Thank you so much for your time. Everybody can check out your work at the Washington Post. Online.com, all your stuff on Twitter @CCulpepper1.
Culpepper. Chuck Culpepper 1.
Culpepper 1.
Numeral 1, yes.
Check out all Chuck's great work. Washington Post all season long, during the week, on the weekends. That was some of the best coverage you can find nationally in college football. Chuck, appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Price.
And that's Chuck Culpepper with the Washington Post. I'm telling you, he is one of the best, most talented sports columnists in the country, writing a daily sports column and blog for the Washington Post. Again, you can follow Chuck on Twitter at Chuck Culpepper 1. All right, Diesel, are you ready? Tom Brady Day. We're taking Tom Brady Day up one more notch next with the first ever Name That Tom contest. All
right. This is going to be a blast, man. I'm actually a little nervous about this because I think it's going to be so much fun.
You were pumped. You were fired up.
Ready to go.
We've got this thing ready to go. So we're going to take our first, we got the phones now open. The first three callers, you want to get in with us and play Name That Tom to win a $25 gift card to Wing Zone. Give us a call, 844-GSP-ESPN. Again, 844-477-3776. Our first three callers, you are up on deck in the next segment to play Name That Tom. We'll be right back.
This is Straight Up with Sturge on the Upstate's new home for the worldwide leader in sports, ESPN Upstate.
Listen in Greenville.
105.9 FM and 1330 AM. Spartanburg. 97.1 FM and 950 AM. This is Straight Up with Sturge on ESPN Upstate.
Welcome back in. Straight Up with Sturge, Price Atkinson and Diesel. Tom Brady Day, and we are going to celebrate it here now.
And why is it Tom Brady Day?
Well, let's go ahead and let everybody know. If you're out, if you're living under a rock in the sports world, you know that Tom Brady is back in business with the New England Patriots. And you know what? For them, after what happened with their game yesterday, being shut out at home by the Buffalo Bills, I had to do a double take when I saw that score pop up.
Wow.
They need him more than ever. So Tom Brady has made his return back in Foxborough today, working out with the Patriots.
And we're both of the opinion he is just going to torch the Browns.
Yes, we are.
I mean, anybody can torch the Browns, but I mean, he's gonna make them look bad.
Yeah. So in honor of Tom Brady being back,
We're gonna play Name That Tom. Right. All right. So here's how the game is gonna work. We've got three different Toms for three different rounds. We've got callers on the line. We're gonna name off some clues as to who this Tom is, and they should all be extremely easy.
Yeah,
extremely easy. And you as the contestant. First up is gonna be Jimmy. Jimmy has to try to guess which Tom this is. He has to identify the Tom, and it could be a Tom, a Thomas, or a Tommy. Any variation of the name Tom is fair game in this little contest.
That's right. So you've got half the answer there.
That's right.
50% of the answer is done for you. We tested these. We use not calling any coworkers guinea pigs, but we tested our contest around the building earlier.
That's right.
It went well, and then it went poorly in some cases. So we're going to go ahead and play our first ever Name That Tom.
You ready?
I am ready.
Let's do this.
Let's do it.
Name That Tom.
All right, first up on the line, we got Jimmy out of Greenville. Jimmy, are you there?
Yes.
All right, Jimmy, are you ready to play Name That Tom?
Yes, I am.
You have to get all three of these Toms correct to win that $25 Wing Zone gift card.
All right, before we get going, Diesel, do you want to let anybody know, do you want to let our listeners know that potentially if there is a wrong answer by any contestant, you still have a chance to win?
That's right. You will have that at the end. We'll explain that at the end because we think Jimmy's going to get all these right, and we want Jimmy to get all these right. Are you ready, Jimmy?
Yes.
All right, Jimmy. Tom number one, just name that Tom. He's an American actor famous for playing Forrest Gump and talking to volleyballs named Wilson.
Tom Hanks.
Boom.
That's right. Answer number one is correct. Number two, he's an American, actually he's not an American singer. He is Welsh, but he's famous in America. His songs include It's Not Unusual and What's New Pussycat.
Tom Jones.
Bingo. Answer number two is correct. You ready for number three?
Yes.
This Tom was the inventor of the light bulb.
Thomas Edison.
Bingo. Name that Tom. And Jimmy's correct.
And we have a winner, Jimmy.
Congratulations, Jimmy. You just won a $25 gift card to Wing Zone.
Thank you.
Jimmy, could that have been easier? Could that have been an easier $25 to go chow down at Wing Zone? I don't think so.
Well, I guess it helps that I'm 55 years old and I knew Tom
John. Don't, we won't correlate your age with Thomas Edison. That would be really unfair.
All right, Jimmy, we're going to get back with him. We're going to get back with you, Jimmy, in just a few seconds. We need one more caller on the line, by the way, because we only have two phone lines. We need one more caller at 844-477-3776 to play Name That Tom. Call in now. We're going to go to Bob on line two. Take it away, Price.
All right, Bob. Bob in Spartanburg while Diesel looking for our third and final caller to play. But, Bob, you ready to play Name That Tom?
I am, and I should have been the first caller because I knew them three.
All right, here we go. You heard how it works. You know what we're looking for. Here's our first one. American actor who starred in Days of Thunder, Mission Impossible, and became a nut job Scientologist.
Give me clues for 100.
Come on, Bob.
Give me Tom Cruise.
All right, there you go, Tom Cruise.
There you go, Bob.
All right, still looking for one more. All right, here we go, our second one, Bob. Third U.S. president, one the principal writer of the Declaration of Independence, and also lived at Mount Vernon in Virginia.
That would be Thomas Jefferson.
All right.
Jefferson. All right.
Two for two. All right, here we go. The third and final one for a gift card to Wing Zone, Bob. A musician, drummer for Motley Crue, and famous for making a sex tape with Pamela Anderson.
I can't, the background music I couldn't hear the question.
Say it one more time.
All right. A musician and drummer for Motley Crue, also famous for making a sex tape with Pamela Anderson.
His name is
Louie.
Tommy,
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I mean, you went out of history. You went out of...
You got 10 seconds.
Tommy,
time's over. I'm sorry, Bob. You lose.
Oh, Bob.
Bob.
All right.
All right, now we got to go to our next caller, and we'll tell you in a second because you're going to have another opportunity to win Bob's
That's right.
Gift card.
Because there was a wrong answer, not
That's
a wrong
right.
answer, a because Bob did not win, you it, listening right now will have a chance to win that $25 gift card to Wing Zone, and it'll be very easy. We will tell you after Ethan from Spartanburg, our third and final contestant on Name That Tom.
Ethan, how are you today?
Doing pretty good.
All right, Ethan, are you pretty comfortable with the name Tom?
I think I am.
How would you spell the name Tom?
T-O-M.
Okay, you're good to go, I think.
As long as nobody said, as long as he didn't say T-H-O-M. Fom.
All right, Ethan from Spartanburg, are you ready to play Name That Tom?
I think so.
All right. This singer-songwriter is famous for writing songs such as Free Fallin' and Last Dance with Mary Jane.
I'm freezing up. I know it. Tom Petty.
Hey, there you go. Tom Petty is the correct answer. All right, Ethan, number two for you. This Tom is a fashion designer who got his start in the 1980s designing preppy sportswear for rich white guys.
Tommy Hilfiger.
There you go. Tommy Hilfiger is correct. I am incorrect by playing the wrong sound effect. All right, you two out of three. All right, number three for you, Ethan. This famous Tom is an actor who starred as Magnum P.I. and in the movie Mr. Baseball, and he has a fantastic mustache.
Name the movies again?
He was in the TV show Magnum P.I. and the movie Mr. Baseball.
Magnum P.I. Shoot. Is that Tom Selleck?
Hey, Tom Selleck. Right on, Ethan.
Oh, man. Nah, I was throwing darts there, man.
All right, Ethan, you have just won yourself a $25 gift card to Wing Zone. Stay on the line for me because I need to get your information. And then we're going to come back sounds with good. A chance for everyone else to win those that last gift card.
That's right. So when we come back from the break on the other side, we will tell you how to win. We've got one $25 gift card to Wing Zone left because Bob from Spartanburg missed the third
right.
and final Tom question. And actually, the ironic part about this, of all nine that we had, Diesel,
I thought this was going to be the easiest one.
The second part of this Tom's name was the shortest.
Right.
Now, if that doesn't help you right there, I don't know what else we can say.
That's right.
But we will tell you coming up on the other side. We'll go to break. We will tell you how to win when we come back, because any of our listeners can win.
And that is how you play.
Name that Tom.
All right.
Fantastic fun on Tom Brady Day here on Straight Up with Sturge. See what happens? We hijack this show when Sturge, our fearless leader, is gone. We take this thing up a notch and have a little bit of fun. Actually, we have fun with Sturge, but we had a lot of fun with that. That was fun. All right, when we come back, we will tell you how you can win a $25 gift card. We've got one remaining due to Bob's answer that was incorrect. We'll give it to you here on the other side. This is Straight Up with Sturge.
From Clemson to Carolina, if it's sports, we're talking about it.
Listen in Greenville.
105.9 FM and 1330 AM. Spartanburg. 97.1 FM and 950 AM. Straight Up with Sturge on ESPN Upstate.
Spumoni! We're Spumonian over here.
Spumonian the whole thing.
Straight Up with Sturge, Price Atkinson, and Diesel. We have successfully spumonied almost an entire 3 hours on a packed sports weekend. While Sturge is away, we will play. And we had fun playing
that's
Name
right.
That Tom.
And we got to give it up to both Jimmy and Ethan for being Name That Tom champions.
That's right. And Bob,
sorry to Bob.
Bob, I'm sorry.
Bob, come on, Bob.
You know what would have made Name That Tom better? And we should have had a $50 just to dangle if we could have gotten a player named Tom. How awesome that's would true. That have been if we have gotten a Tom to call in and play? I thought that would have been
that's true.
Really cool.
Well, and because Bob did not get all three of his Toms correct, we have a gift card. You hear it like flapping right there? That's an extra $25 gift card to Wing Zone that we need to give away.
Diesel's got $25 to make you holla, and he's going to tell you right now how you can win it. And it pertains to the one, the final one that Bob
missed.
That's
right. That's right. All right, so Bob got his third and final Name That Tom incorrect. And if you want to win this $25 gift card, simply tweet at ESPN Upstate which Tom is a musician who's a drummer for Motley Crue and is famous for making a sex tape with Pamela Anderson. We're going to take the first one. The first person who can tweet at ESPN Upstate the name of this famous Tom who is the drummer for Motley Crue and made a sex tape with Pamela Anderson, you are going
to
win the gift card.
That is the only way to win is to tweet.
That is
us.
The only way to win. Phone lines are lit up right now. Sorry, y'all need to hang up the phone and get on the Twitters.
But you can't get in with us. You want to talk some college
that's
football,
right.
NFL, Major League Baseball playoffs, whatever you want to get into, 844-GSP-ESPN. Again, 844-477-3776. You can text us 47183, or you can tweet us the right answer, which would get you a gift card at ESPN Upstate. You can certainly tweet me at Price Atkinson or at Diesel on Radio. So as the phones are lit up, I think people are trying to call in and give an answer. Again, tweet us at ESPN Upstate. You can win by tweeting us.
Check this out. We just had your exact wish on the line. Tom Thomas.
How about that?
Tom Thomas.
Thomas. Where was Tom Thomas? If Tom Thomas could have gotten in to Name That Tom, I might have given all three gift cards to him, Diesel. That would have ruined the contest. But how classic and perfect would that have been? All right.
And we already have a winner. Look at this guy. Look how fast his thumbs are. I mean, he's going to be punching holes in his phone because he's tweeting us so fast. Corey Graner. At CR Graner gives us the correct answer of the drummer of Motley Crue, famous for making a sex tape with Pamela Anderson, is Tommy Lee.
And because Corey wanted to win that wing zone and those wings so bad, he tweeted us a second time to make sure he spelled it right, lowercase. So Corey Graner at CR Graner. You have got it.
Congratulations. So we're going to be messaging you here in just a few seconds, Corey Graner, on Twitter, and we're going to get some information from you.
There you go. All right. The Major League Baseball playoffs are set, but Diesel, I want to ask you, I want to see if you've got a problem with this, because there was something over the weekend in Major League Baseball that I had a little bit of a problem with. And I'm not sure if you caught, but did you see who won the batting title in the National League? I'm going to guess it's a big fat no, but I'm just going to go ahead and ask it for the sake of doing so.
No.
That would tell me no. Okay, so the batting title in the National League went to DJ LeMahieu from the Colorado Rockies. Okay, he edged out the second baseman for the Rockies, edged out Daniel Murphy from the New York Mets. Now, here's how it happened. Edged him out 348 to 347, highest batting average to win the batting title since Chipper won it. I think it was 2007. So he wins the batting title, but he does it in a manner that I just think, come on, really? So Daniel Murphy, out with a strained buttocks, okay, can't make this up, for the Mets, was behind by a point, could not play this weekend, actually played as a pinch hitter, hit as a pinch hitter yesterday, went 0 for 1. So Walt Weiss, the manager of the Rockies, decides, all right, LeMahieu is ahead by 1 point, by 348, 347. What if he plays Mayhew and he somehow doesn't have a good weekend and falls behind and loses the batting title? You know what he did? He sat DJ LeMahieu. He didn't play him. Now, LeMahieu did go 0 for 2 over the weekend, but he did not play. And that the Rockies were sitting DJ LeMahieu to try and rest him for the playoffs. But he sat him. He said, you know what? If Murphy was playing, I would have no doubt played DJ LeMahieu and let him just kind of slug it out on the field. That's kind of what it's all about. But he sat him just so he could make sure he won the batting title. The Rocky season is done. So in the final three games of the season for the Colorado Rockies, your batting champ had two ABs. Had nothing to do with being hurt, simply to win the batting title, Diesel. I think that's kind of ridiculous. Play the guy. But as I mentioned, the baseball playoffs are now set. And we can just tell you that starting tomorrow night on TBS, 8 o'clock, the Baltimore Orioles in the wild card game will take on Toronto up north of the border. That's an 8 o'clock first pitch on TBS. The winner will get the Texas Rangers starting Thursday. While in the National League, on Wednesday night at 8 p.m. on ESPN, the San Francisco Giants and the New York Mets, Madison Bumgarner, Noah Syndergaard. The winner will get the Chicago Cubs starting Friday at Wrigley. And for those scoring at home, the World Series will begin on Tuesday, October the 25th, with the entirety of it carried on Fox. I can tell you at this point, I will have been fully checked out on Major League Baseball, as I have been for a while, sans a bet with Mark B. Sturgis on the Atlanta Braves. One thing I can tell you, the Atlanta Braves, certainly, they said bye-bye in dramatic fashion yesterday to Turner Field, closing out the Turner Field area, Diesel. 20 years at the TED. They took 2 of 3 from the Tigers by virtue of beating the Tigers yesterday. The Tigers did need some help, but they kept the Tigers from making the wild card in the playoffs with that win yesterday. Is I guess it's kind of Braves-esque the way it went down. The Braves win a 1-0 pitcher's duel between Justin Verlander and Julio Teheran. Teheran strikes out 12 batters before a sold-out crowd. The Braves win it on a sack fly in the first inning. That's what I'm talking about. But it was a pretty epic day as the Braves said goodbye to former President Jimmy Carter, a lot of Hall of Famers, John Smoltz, Tom, speaking of Tom Day, Tom Glavine and Greg Maddux, they threw out the ceremonial first pitch.
At the same time? That's impressive.
Yep. So
the same ball, right? The two guys throwing one ball.
That's right. A couple things to tell you. 12 playoff seasons out of 20 at the TED. That's pretty strong, over 50%. Mm-hmm. The last call for alcohol at Turner Field, 5:15 p.m. Mm. The final out recorded.
I've been drunk in that stadium before.
I have too. the final out recorded at exactly 6 p.m. And about 35 minutes later, they had a lot of things going on beforehand. They had a closing ceremony afterwards. Hank Aaron, he took home plate around 6:35 p.m. at the TED. He got a police escort 12 miles heading north up to the new SunTrust Park. Hank Aaron delivered home plate at officially 7:20 to the Braves' new home at SunTrust Park. But the Braves did finish the year strong in the Brian Snitker era, so to speak. You know, the Braves finished the season 68-93. We can tell you, it was not the worst record in the majors. The Minnesota Twins finished the worst, 59-103. Tampa Bay also finished with 68 wins, as did the Cincinnati Reds and the San Diego Padres. So the Braves started out, it was obviously a terrible start, 18-46. But when Brian Snitker, the interim manager, took over, he led the Braves to a 50-47 mark. They played .500 baseball after Brian Snitker took over, Diesel. That's pretty good.
Yes, it is.
That's why he, I think, is going to have a good shot and might be the next manager, as he interviewed over the weekend for the full-time manager's job. All right, when we get out of here, we got one more segment coming up.
By the way, we do have to make a correction, and thank you to Alan, who tweeted us at ESPN Upstate. Our mistake, Thomas Jefferson never lived at Mount Vernon. He lived at Monticello.
Hey,
that is my fault.
Yeah, that was my fault.
That is my ignorance of history, okay?
Thanks to Alan for hanging.
Thank you, Alan, for teaching me something.
We'll put a bow on this thing. We're going to talk a little bit of Ryder Cup on the way out. Set the table for Monday Night Football coming up here on Straight Up with Sturge. You want to get in? April 4, GSP, ESPN.
Sports talk from the upstate for the upstate.
Listen in Greenville.
105.9 FM and 1330 AM.
Spartanburg.
97.1 FM and 950 AM. It's Straight Up with Sturge on ESPN Upstate.
Welcome back in. Straight Up with Sturge, Price Atkinson, Diesel, taking you up to 7 o'clock. Don't forget Monday Night Football coming up later at 8 o'clock. Here on ESPN Upstate. Had a lot of fun this afternoon on Tom Brady Day in our first ever Name That Tom contest. You know what also would have been fun? Not only had we gotten Tom Thomason, who called in a little bit late, if we could have gotten our fearless leader, if he had had free minutes, even known we were doing this contest, to call in and try.
If he knew we were doing this contest, he would have let it happen.
He would have called in and not just played. He would have yelled Spumoni as loud as he could have.
Well, guess what? We're in control now.
That's right. While they're away, we shall play. All right, let's go ahead and get back to the phones. Billy from Taylor's calling in. Billy, my man, what is going on? How was the weekend?
What's up, Price? How did you miss Tommy Lee? I don't understand that. I don't either.
As focused as I was for so long on Pamela Anderson, how do you not know that he is the guy that deflowered her for me?
I don't know what clues.
I'm pretty sure a lot of guys deflowered her, but.
Well, I don't know what other clues we could have given on that one besides that.
Oh, he was in Methods of Mayhem. Yeah, that clue would have really tipped him over the edge.
Or if you wanted to say, yes, I saw that said tape with Pam and then tried to give clues from that, but this is a family show again, Deez.
That's right.
Well, I'm not sure that a lot of people realize that he was in that video anyway.
Good point. Very good point.
Anyway,
part of him was.
By the way, you know, you were talking about his last name being the shortest. I bet you that that's been shortened. He's of Greek heritage. Both of his parents are from Greece. So, you know, you've seen my last name, Price. I can guarantee you his last name is not just three letters.
Well, I am looking that up right now so we have that information.
Oh, yes. Anyway, his mother was actually a beauty like pageant winner or something in Greece. That's the true fact. Look that up while I'm talking here, Diesel. Anyway, listen, South Carolina played hard. I thought that they were going to, and they did. You know, I thought it was going to be closer. I think you were there, Price, when I called last week and said I thought that they were going to lose.
Yep.
But not badly. I thought they would lose by like 10 or something like that, and that's about what happened. But, you know, aesthetically, speaking, that was probably the best they've looked offensively against the best team that they've played thus far. I've got a strange feeling that they're going to beat Georgia. I don't know what it is. I don't think they're better than Georgia. I think Georgia's probably, you know, 10 to 14 points better than South Carolina. They both play as good as they can. But I just think they're going to get somebody, and Georgia's not played well. They've lost two straight games. And they're coming to Columbia. I think South Carolina's going to play well at home this year for the remainder of the year and probably going to get smacked when they go on the road. So I just want you to remember that. I think they're going to play very good in this game, and I think they're going to have a chance to win this game. I personally think they're going to win it. And I think it's got to do with two things. A, the Muschamp, God, what's the guy from Alabama that's the coach of Georgia now, Price?
Kirby Smart.
Smart, yeah, the ties that they've got. They've known each other for a long time. And Georgia just doesn't play well in Columbia for whatever reason. I think that that's going to be a much closer game than some people think.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm actually with you on that, Billy, because I said it earlier in the show, I think during the middle hour when we were talking about South Carolina, I really was impressed with what South Carolina did this weekend. I think all Gamecock fans, I know you lost the football game. Don't get me wrong. Don't take the moral victories. But South Carolina and Will Muschamp's team, especially defensively, they fought hard against one of the better offenses they're going to see this year. I thought defensively they were outstanding, really containing. Now, again, I know that Texas A&M was down a couple wide receivers, but you guys were too. It's just going to take some time. The growing pains are going to be there on offense all year long looking for playmakers, but you can't have your top three wide receivers out and expect to have any consistency moving the football with this offense right now.
Well, we're two recruiting classes from being a legitimate top 25 team, let's be honest.
Agreed. I think under Will Muschamp, I think that's very possible.
Yeah, and I think also, Billy, you're right, because South Carolina has always played Georgia tough in Columbia. I think there's a lot of inconsistencies with Georgia this year. I mean, Chubb in and out. Certainly, I think there's going to be a lot of ebbs and flows, and there already have been, in Jacob Eason, the true freshman quarterback, still kind of figuring it out at the quarterback position. And look, coming off that loss, when that thing was ripped away, when you thought you had one of the most thrilling, exciting victories in Georgia football history, to have it ripped away, what's the mentality of this Georgia team going to be like coming in? Will they be flat? They very well could be.
And they haven't played particularly well all season. No. So it's not like they have three wins in front of that one to feel really good about, because they really don't.
Yeah.
Well, the one asterisk in that is will South Carolina fans turn out? Because if you noticed watching that game, I did not go. I had to work. But if you noticed watching that game, the upper deck was, there's probably about 15 or 20,000 people that didn't show up. So, there's a little fright down there. People have gotten used to winning, and now that they're not, I think that they're like, okay, you're going to have to turn this around and give us something to believe in fast, or we're not coming. But I wanted to make one quick comment about Clemson. They really impressed me, obviously. I mean, they deserve their ranking where they are. I thought there was two key plays in that game. One was a drive. One was that kick-up return that everyone's talked about.
Sure.
To me, the reason why, I think Louisville could have scored in that last minute. There was about a minute and some change. Mm-hmm. I think they were trying to run the timeout, and the reason why was because of the drive right before halftime. I don't think they wanted to leave any time on the clock, less than 20 seconds, let's say, for Clemson to get the ball back, because I don't think they felt like they could have stopped Watson from going right back down the field and winning the game in dramatic fashion. And I'm not going to disagree with that. I think they did the absolute right thing. I will say this, in Louisville's defense, not in Louisville's defense, they played obviously very well against against the top three, maybe the first team, number one team in college football, who knows.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that kid at quarterback is the real deal. To me, he looked like he was clearly the best athlete, even against Clemson on the field. And I think he didn't do anything to hurt his Heisman chances this year.
No. Not at all.
Anyway, I'll listen off there. I appreciate it, guys.
Appreciate it, Billy. Appreciate you getting in with us. And I agree.
No, absolutely. Jackson, he looked incredible.
Yeah, there is nothing Lamar Jackson did to harm his Heisman hopes on Saturday in the loss. I mean, 162 yards on the ground, two touchdowns, and through the air, 295 yards and a touchdown with a pick. There was nothing he did wrong. I'm telling you right now, Louisville, Clemson, Alabama and Ohio State. To me, those are the four best teams in the country. I know what Washington did. I'm not saying that's my
projection. Can you really say you think Washington is better than Louisville right now?
No. I'm just telling you right now. And Ohio State might be the best team in the country. Right. But Ohio State, Alabama, you're splitting hairs. Clemson, Louisville, what I saw on that field, those are without a doubt two of the four best teams teams in the country. Does that mean that that's going to be the four in the college football playoff? No, it doesn't. I think it's just going to be outstanding football the rest of the year. It's going to be a lot of fun. Look, Diesel, this has been a lot of fun this afternoon. Don't forget tomorrow. We will be back here live. I will be back in the saddle. Hopefully, Mark B. Sturgis, our fearless leader, will be back. But we will have some more fun tomorrow on Straight Up with Sturge. Appreciate all our callers, everybody getting in, playing Name That Tom. Our guests, Tubby Smith, Ryan McGee, and Chuck Culpepper. Had a lot of fun, Diesel. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll see you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.